Hey, listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combined, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
We're not the only podcast that does a Halloween special for the whole month. At least I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know if they do one for the whole month. No.
But we're the goddamn best.
Yeah, absolutely. And
hands
we're the only ones that cover movies and games.
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Not so, just horror movies or
fuck
horror
you people
games. We
that
do both.
Phone it in. We mix it. We mix and match. And when we mix and match, you know, we also like to get a third in and get this get this thing really getting creepy and a little bit.
Can we just
awkward.
Have a hashtag get a third in?
Hashtag get a third in.
I would much prefer getting a fifth in.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
That voice is the voice of our third, who is you probably recognize that. I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out because we've still never talked about this movie. It's Mr. Brooks.
What up?
We need to do that movie, damn it. We really do. Because I don't think you've ever seen it, right?
Which one?
Mr. Brooks?
Actually, no. I have
yeah,
not.
That's right. But you have, right?
I have not seen it.
You haven't
it,
seen
no.
it either.
Nope.
Okay. We're going to do this movie.
I say Patreon live cast.
Okay, yeah. Let's do Mr. Brooks.
Yeah. I'm okay with this.
In case both of you have forgotten, it is a horror slasher film starring Kevin Costner with his co-star as Dane Cook.
Yes. I remember Dane Cook's involvement,
yeah,
if you will. Yeah.
He's actually not bad.
You know, I don't have the hate boner that everybody seems to have
either.
For Dane Cook.
I actually really enjoy Dane Cook, so fuck all
that's
of you.
Going too far for no. me, but I'm in the middle. He's
he
fine.
He has his place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It might not be where I'm at, but his place is somewhere. Apparently where Kyle's at.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was a very crude, very loud person that really, if you can believe it, identified with me at a young age.
He was very animated.
I believe that 100%.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Kind of really latched onto that.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. So.
And you know what? Because I think it hit me at the same time. I think it was just how he moved around the stage and used his whole body. It was like Robin Williams.
Very
like
similar.
Those two were the only stand-ups that I liked as a young kid because it wasn't just people standing around telling jokes. Like,
yeah.
It was more than that.
It
felt
was a
showy.
Show.
Yeah.
A show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But we're not here to talk about Dane Cook.
No.
Nope.
What are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about this fucking game called The Evil Within.
Fucking game.
Yeah.
And it was kind of evil to play.
Maybe we're kind of wearing our hearts on our sleeves a little bit here. But we'll get into a little bit more.
We'll find out what else is within later.
Before we get into it, though, I do want to give, you know, I don't think we've ever done one of these, but I want to give a bit of a special shout out and a bit of a special tribute to somebody that just passed away this week.
Salute, if you will.
Yeah, a salute. Mr. John Dunsworth, who most of you should know played Mr. Jim Leahy on the television show Trailer Park Boys. He passed away. I was a big fan of Trailer Park Boys from the beginning. I remember I was one of those rare few that actually torrented the whole first and second season off of the internet because it was only on Canadian broadcast television at the beginning and you couldn't see it. And I remember many nights getting stoned and drunk and showing off Trailer Park Boys to all my friends who had never even heard of it. I think I stumbled upon it via the Reddit, or not even Reddit, I think just the internet somehow. It was one of those, it's had this huge cult following that has grown throughout the years. And I think a big part of that is John Dunsworth and his fantastic portrayal of Jim Leahy. I mean, if you ever have seen anybody act drunk, nobody has ever acted drunk as good as John Dunsworth.
He is like a classic drunk.
Yes.
In that sense. Like he belongs like in a Western with how he does it. And he does it so well.
Dude, it's a mastercraft. It's just fucking phenomenal. So, you know, I think we'll probably talk about him just a little bit more. But before that, we do have shots of whiskey here. And in honor of Jim Leahy, we're all going to take a little drinky poo, including sound engineer Andre.
You got to say it like him.
We're going to take a little drinky poo, Bob.
There you go.
The shit winds are blowing.
I was transported right to the trailer park right there. That was beautiful.
So this one's for Jim Leahy and Bo Bandy. Guys, to you, Jim Leahy. Salut. There it is, Bob. A little drinky poo.
Ah,
it's terrible, I know.
Decent.
So it's, I don't know, Ryan, when did you get exposed to Trailer Park Boys?
Much later.
Yeah, that, like a lot of people did.
I mean, I remember working at the video store and seeing both of their movies out
on
the shelf.
Okay, so you started with the movies.
I still didn't watch it. So, like, it was however long both movies came out, maybe like 6-7 seasons into it, like real late, once it was on Netflix and easily available.
Accessible, sure.
And it's a show I did not like at first.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just repellent.
Sure.
Like, there was nothing likable about these characters.
And there's not supposed to be, which is great.
And there isn't. And I wasn't even finding the humor aside from just like, oh, they're dumb. But then I kept watching for some reason. I don't know. Maybe like it was a challenge to myself to keep up with it. But after getting a season into it, like, I was like, oh, there's something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also, to my knowledge, it's one of the first mockumentary style television shows.
Predating Office?
It does predate the Office UK, I'm almost positive.
That's fascinating.
It was very, very early on, so yeah.
Hmm.
When did the Office UK start? Look that up for us, Brooks.
On it.
I know Office US was 2003.
Yeah. I think UK might have started in 2001, too.
Mm-hmm. It might be real close. Well, in the meantime,
yeah,
Kyle, we are here to honor, essentially, Jim Leahy, but if you have a favorite Trailer Park Boy character, who is it?
It's probably got to be, man, I'd say Julian.
Julian, huh?
Which is weird.
The leader.
And
the black cutoff, rum and coke in hand
until
leader.
He gets older and then he gets into the swish. But we've all been there. But no, it's like, because Julian, man, I think he's the one that you are supposed to identify the most with. He's trying to do right. He wants to do right. And everything around him is constantly fucked. And no matter what he does, he wants to do good for everybody. And everybody else tries to sabotage themselves and him in the process. Because he always gets brought down with it.
Sure, yeah.
But he's got a really strong moral conviction. He's got a bit of a code that he tries to honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I've always just really liked Julian. Because even in, you know, he still loves Ricky, even though Ricky is the biggest fuck-up of all fuck-ups. You know, mm-hmm. It's just, there's something respectable about Julian.
Okay.
What about you?
I respect it. That's a good choice. Well, I think first, Brooks has an update.
So, the original Office UK version came out the 9th of July, 2001.
Oh, it's down to the day.
It is down to the month.
Oh, shit.
Because Trailer Park Boys came out April 22nd, 2001.
July, so they beat them by a few months.
By a few months.
Okay,
there you go. Trailer Park Boys beat them?
Yeah, yep. Trailer okay, Park yeah. Boys by a few months.
Well, there it is.
Close one. All right. Well, now that you asked, I'm going to defer mine.
Yeah?
And ask Brooks. So, have you seen the Trailer Park Boys?
So here's the thing.
And then what are your thoughts?
I have not seen Trailer Park Boys.
Okay.
It is sitting in my nice and tidy Netflix queue at the moment.
The nice thing about being in that queue is that Netflix now owns Trailer Park Boys, so
exactly.
It is never going to go anywhere.
Yes.
Exactly. So I'm hitting that fairly soon. I know it's like a you know, like you said, a little bit of a cult phenomenon, a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of it numerous times. Yeah, so it's just I haven't had time to watch it yet.
I think that's one, too, that you could easily watch in the background as you're doing something. It's a show you don't have to pay 100% attention to.
It's like that. I'm that way with, like, The Office and Parks and Rec now. You know, I can just put them on. So I would highly, highly recommend that show to you, mm-hmm. though, Brooks. It gets really good legs around the third and fourth season. And, man, it is.
Yeah, it's so one of the things I do is I play Elite Dangerous. And I explore, so there's nothing around, jumping around a little bit, in space. And so I have to have some stuff to do.
Okay.
And having Netflix on my second monitor is usually a good thing for me to have.
Yeah.
So this is one of those shows that I've deemed worthy of that, at least.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to do it.
And making my millions of credits with exploration data.
So what about you,
I'm not
Ryan?
Familiar with this game, so I'm sorry.
You've deferred. but your deferral was wasted.
I have deferred. My favorite is...
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to guess...
We'll see how well you get me. I don't think you get me very well.
I probably don't.
Prove me wrong.
I'm going to base it off a previous question, which was Always Sunny. I'm going to guess Bubbles.
Is my favorite?
Yes. Because of his simplicity and big heart similar to Charlie.
Is Charlie my favorite?
I thought Charlie was your favorite.
I don't know.
We both agree
it's
Dennis.
Either Charlie or Dennis.
Yeah, I think we both were both two. Like, it's yeah. Charlie and Dennis, like, in a weird mismatch.
Yeah, no, it's Ricky.
It's Ricky.
Ricky's
okay.
My favorite for the lovable loser quality.
Sure.
I think more so than he's more the Charlie Day surrogate, I think, because no matter how hard he tries, he can't help but fuck up. And like
sure,
he
man.
Just cannot get
he fucks
above
everything up.
That one very low level you see earlier on.
Yeah.
No matter what. And I think ultimately he is the heart of the group. I think more so than Bubbles even. I think Bubbles is the moral center.
He's the
Ricky's
conscious.
The heart, and Julian is the brain.
Yes.
And I think Ricky is what makes the show engaging to me.
Ricky's also maybe the id. He's the base.
Yeah.
He does things
oh, for sure.
For the pleasure and for the Ricky. Like,
very quick to react.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He just can't control it. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, my pick would be Ricky.
I think it's been like 14 seasons and that dude still sleeps in his car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wonderfully titled The Shitmobile. So, anyways, I did not expect this to turn into that long of a Trailer Park Boys tribute, but I like
well,
that.
Well, we needed some kind of intro, yeah. Right? So, there we go. Plus, we learned, you know, Trailer Park Boys was the first
mockumentary. Yeah. Ish.
Well, I guess this is to be debated.
First
on TV.
First that we are aware of.
Yeah. On TV.
First
what do you got? What do you got?
Television show
Andrew?
Presented as a documentary.
What do you got, Andrew? Victoria Wood, shit. 1985. Never heard of this before. I'm going to have to watch it now.
Wikipedia.
Victoria Wood, 1985 is the year. What was the show title? Victoria Wood as seen on TV. 1985 apparently is the first mockumentary ever made.
So only, you know, what, like 18 years predating
sure.
Trailer Park
but
Boys?
But here's the thing. I've never fucking heard of that.
Yeah, but in fairness,
a lot of people had.
How
heard
many
of
people
Park.
Have heard of Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah,
some
or the UK
some
office.
Some of us were also just. But is it better or worse than the U.S. version?
Now here's the biggest contention. I will say, I like the U.S. version way better, me personally.
Fair enough.
Yeah, are you a UKer?
To be honest, it's kind of a toss-up.
Sure.
You know, some episodes are better, some are worse. Just depends on my mood.
Go ahead.
I'm going to side with Kyle.
Yeah, I think the U.S. version is so much more superior than the U.K. Like, and not knocking the U.K., but man.
I'll go ahead and I'll knock the U.K. a little bit. I don't find the humor in it. I think Ricky Gervais's character, and this is somebody who likes Ricky Gervais, is very unappealing and just a horrible fucking person, as opposed to Michael Scott, who is
the lovable
genuinely
idiot.
Like, he means well. He's so stupid, but he means well. And I don't think that comes across with Ricky Gervais. I much prefer extras to The
sure.
Office. Like, that's one like I get into more. And even his Netflix show about the Towns guy.
What is it, Bernie?
It's like a one word.
No, Bernie's the Jack Black one.
Yeah,
what is it?
Bernie.
Andrew likes that show where Ricky Gervais is in there.
Derek. Like,
yes.
Derek, I prefer Derek to The Office, too. The Office is at the bottom.
The
UK,
Office.
It's at my bottom. So, I don't know. But I'll still take that to season 8, Ed Helms running the show. Yeah. Fuck that.
I'm still on board through season 8, but season 9 can eat a giant dick.
I thought season 9 was a huge improvement over 8.
Oh, man, no. Season
fucking
9.
Shame, Andy. Shame him to hell.
Am I going to have to get out the wrestling ring for you two to fight out the season 9
No, I don't think so.
We need a bell.
But I think
that's,
we are going to...
On the Experience Grind soundboard, we need a like a ding, ding, ding bell.
I think we are going to take our bumper here. And for this bumper, we're going to have our special guest, Mr. Brooks, read the description of The Evil Within.
Ooh.
So without further ado, here is the description of The Evil Within.
The Evil Within is a third-person horror survival game developed by Tango Gameworks and published by Bethesda Softworks. The game was directed by Resident Evil series creator Shinji Mikami and was released worldwide October 2014 for the PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and Microsoft Windows.
Thank you, Brooks, for that very apt and very thorough description of this game. So I guess the big thing to take away from that is the name Shinji Mikami.
Indeed.
Shinji Mikami is the creator of Resident Evil and what else? Did Devil May Cry?
Let me look up here real quick.
He was working on Resident Evil 4, which was at the time Devil May Cry, and then he got transitioned to.
So I have the complete list of things that he had worked on.
Yeah.
He was a planner for Who Framed Roger Rabbit on the Game Boy.
Oh, okay. Shit. Who cares about that?
He was a designer for Goof Troop.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Oh, no, that's a great SNES game. Fantastic co-op, yeah.
He was the planner for the SNES version of Aladdin.
Cool.
Oh, that's a great game.
Resident Evil 2, Dino Crisis.
Not Resident Evil 1.
No, he just said Resident Evil 2.
Oh, Dino Crisis.
Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
Yep.
Resident Evil Code Veronica. Mm-hmm. He was the producer. Dino Crisis 2.
I love Dino Crisis 2, by the way.
Onimusha Warlords.
He did Onimusha. Okay.
He was the advisor for Resident Evil Gaiden.
Ryan's never played the Onimushas, but wants to.
Yeah.
And to Kyle's credit, he was the executive producer for Devil May Cry.
Okay. Yeah. I knew he was involved somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the creator of the best Resident Evils.
Yeah.
All the good shit. Yeah. So, what I wanted to say from that is that when you hear Shinji Mikami and you hear he's making a horror game, you expect some pretty good things. Ryan's already disagreeing with me. I like that face.
No, did Shinji Mikami also work on Shadows of the Damned?
Because
wasn't that him and Suda51, right?
Yeah, that was when they formed Grasshopper. This was not Grasshopper, though.
But it was Shinji Mikami was part of those?
Yeah, he was
He was the creative producer of Shadows of the Damned. Yeah.
That's it. I'm just trying to get my facts correct. I don't disagree with anything that's been said.
He was also the Japanese voice of Takahashi in Fallout 4.
Oh, well.
I never played it.
I've never played the Japanese version.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But anyways, like I was saying, so with the name Shinji Mikami, there is... So it's like, you know, if you hear... You don't hear it now, but if you heard there's a new Prince album... Or a new David Bowie, or a new Tom Petty. I don't know why I just listed three people that are dead.
Is this your point here? What's going on?
There's that name carries weight. You would be like, okay. There's something there to at least experience.
Yeah, you really did just go with three dead musicians.
Let me say,
come up with a living one?
Well, I mean, Tupac still put out stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's also Hideo Kojima.
There you go.
Anything that guy does, people are going to pay attention to.
Sure.
Anything Shinji Mikami does, people are going to be
like... Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, of course, mm-hmm. Miyamoto. But it's one of those things like...
Tim Schafer, some would say.
Some.
Continue.
Some would say yes. But what I'm getting at is that Evil Within, I think, is the low mark. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I didn't like that game. I did not fucking like this game at all.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to preface my... opinion on this game. I did not like this game playing it. I'm fairly certain, because I've seen trailers and, you know, just kind of rewatching my playthrough. I enjoyed watching someone play this, but I just couldn't get behind actually playing it.
I'm with Brooks. Yeah, I guess we'll just all show our hands real quick here. Here at Experience Grind, we like to play every single game
as much as we can. I think this is the first one that none of us have beaten.
We try to complete every single game we do here, and there are certainly occasions where one of us doesn't, but the other one picks up the slack.
Me.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you have a better record than I do. I think there's been two that I haven't completed.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I've beaten Symphony of the Night. I just didn't do a stupid upside-down castle because it's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm saying Symphony of the Night.
But that's it.
Did you beat Shadow?
Shadow of the Colossus. I beat that motherfucking game twice, and that is two times more than I really wanted to beat that game.
You're the best.
But I did it for this fucking podcast.
You're the best. I love you, buddy.
All this to say, I could not finish Evil Within.
I couldn't either.
I could not finish this
game. I couldn't
game.
Either, man.
And this is a rare thing. I don't, Brooks, you also were not able to finish this, correct?
Yes, I was not able to finish this game at all. Not to say that I did not try.
I did try too. Here's the thing. So, like, this has not been a surprise drop on us like we did with Resident Evil 4 last year. We've had ample time to play this game.
Well over 2 months.
It just, man, it's so hard to get into.
Yeah.
And here's my description. So take the fucking fickle controls of Resident Evil 4 and then try to slap some stealth shit on that. And you've got at least all of the experience I had with
people. But not good stealth.
No, of course not.
Stealth from like a shitty PS2 clone of Metal Gear Solid.
I'm
like
going to...
Spy Story or something like this.
Spy
like
Story.
The stealth from a game called Spy Story.
Love it.
I'll throw my iteration of the controls because I've never been a big Resident Evil fan.
I'm with you there.
I appreciate the games behind it. The co-op ones I've played a little bit of and I had fun with. The problem that I've always had, like this is the example I have from what I've played. I've played Dead Space. I enjoyed Dead Space.
Yeah.
It had clunky controls, but it had a reason behind that. And that's what this game felt like. It felt like Dead Space, but you were trying to hide a bit more.
I would. One, I love this. I like giving your perspective on kind of other horror video games and where you fall in, because I think that does color your view of going into the Evil Within and why maybe we found it so inaccessible. But I thought the controls... I played Dead Space 1 and 2, and I thought the controls were... I mean, you move slow, but I always felt like wherever I aimed was where I was shooting. Like, I could easily... pinpoint like the limbs off the targets like I needed to.
I'm mostly referring to movement.
Yeah.
Style.
Okay. All right, so how
where
you
momentum is a thing in Dead Space, it feels like.
So not the precision control
no,
of the shooting or anything.
I didn't have too much of a problem with the shooting
in
this game.
Slow third person.
But the slow third person clunkiness and the awkward stealth aspect of this game is kind of what took me out. I mean, I can handle one of those things. I can't handle them both at the same time.
And I don't get the need for the stealth in this type of game, especially with this control style.
Yeah.
Like, if you're moving like a Solid Snake or a Sam Fisher, it makes sense because you move very fluidly. Like, you're supposed to be stealthy. In this one, you're some fucking dude that gets beat the hell up constantly.
Yeah, that'll be another criticism for later, is that this game is filled with just some dudes.
Yeah.
And nothing ultimately sticks out. And I think maybe that's why this clunky stealth mechanic was put in, because otherwise this would just feel like a really bland Resident Evil 4 clone.
Sure.
Kind of like...
But I would have been fine with that. Like, because Resident Evil 4 is a fantastic... high watermark game. It's got great gunplay. It's got great story.
I think the argument is what Resident Evil 5, 6, and whatnot were all bland Resident Evil 4 clones.
Yeah.
Look at how the fans hated them and shit on them and asked.
Here's the thing that they didn't have was Shinji fucking Mikami.
Well, you know, I would take 5, 6, or any of those to Evil Within.
You do have me there. I don't like 6. I still don't like 6.
I think 6 is a lot more fun. And at least you have co-op, so you can have fun with somebody else getting through it.
Fun.
But it's weird that all these horror games do this fucking trope of interweaving stories. Because you brought up Resident Evil 6, and that's nothing but like a 10-hour game made into a 24-hour game because you're seeing the same thing but from four different sides at one point. And the Evil Within does this too with the DLC, I guess, for the
where
lady.
You're the chick character.
Was Kidman.
Yes.
Right?
Who I was concerned was a robot because she has no emotion and she never blinks.
She's only designed to, you know, be an attractive female. as is the case with everybody else's game, it's just like stock generic detective, no other personalities, generic creepy sick kid, and evil twin. This game relies, I don't know.
Evil with twins?
Evil with twins. that's also the what the hashtag, let's add in a third.
Yeah, that was a good callback.
But, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this game. I can't fully dismiss it. There's a lot of negatives. I don't want to talk about it yet. Let somebody else talk. Brooks, please elaborate more on thoughts here.
So, like I said, I couldn't stand playing this game that much.
Yeah, I totally
agree. And I said it in my stream as well, that this game... It has the potential to be a good game, but it's not a game for me.
Mm-hmm.
It had, you know, I could probably stand, I could watch a Let's Play of this. Like I said, I was rewatching some of my stuff, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I just could not stand playing it.
I think that's a lot of the consensus in this game, is like, a lot of people are, it's like, yeah, there's a good thing here, but it's so bogged down in stupid bullshit that I can't get involved in it, and I don't even want to deal with it. Like,
and especially me being a 33-year-old father of
4.5.
Yeah, 4.5 if you count the one that's currently in my wife's belly.
I don't know. I hope she doesn't listen to this episode, because you just referenced Fat Bastard.
I don't care. I've been married for 13 years. If she can't handle that anymore, she needs to leave.
All right.
But
stakes are being made here.
I've been making mistakes for my entire life.
Yeah, we all.
But... dang it, you made me forget my point, what I was trying to make.
Father of five.
Father of five, right. So, I don't have a whole lot of time as a gamer anymore.
Mm-hmm. Not anymore, no.
And I don't regret that part one bit. I've got other things that take up my time, but, you know, gaming is kind of my way to relax.
Mm-hmm.
I was not relaxed playing this game in a way that I felt like some games could.
Perfect.
I don't mind horror games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love games that make me jump. Alien Isolation was one of my favorite survivalish kind of horror games that to play. And it was terrifying, but in a good way.
So what is that distinguishing difference?
Yeah,
though.
That's what I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of people that have compared this to Alien Isolation, and I also agree. I really enjoyed Alien Isolation, but I fully admit it's because of the fucking alien shit slapped onto it, and it's a very truthful recreation of the early Alien films, whereas this game is
100%
just nothing like that. So yeah. I wonder, like, Alien Isolation is also... It also handles better. Number one, it's first person.
Yes.
So that even brings it more internal into your reaction to it. But yeah. I think it handles stealth just a bit better. But there's a lot of that fucking trial and error, which I experienced so many times in that first part with the fucking meat cutting guy with the chainsaw that just, that turned me off so hard.
Oh, you mean not Leatherface?
So, yeah. Mr.
Hashtag not Leatherface. So here's the problem I had with that at the very beginning, is that while he's there forever before he moves, his patrol pattern is so long that if you miss it that first time, you're going to be waiting there for almost 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost.
Waiting for him to move again. And, you know, with Alien Isolation, you had to learn patrol patterns a little bit too, and areas where, you know, the robots and alien are going to be patrolling a little bit. So, but you had ways to get around that a little bit easier. I think you had a bottle or something in against a chainsaw guy that you could get him to move.
Yes.
But then what you're supposed to do is not 100% evident.
No. Yeah.
It took
that's
me forever to figure out
trial and error
that, like, oh, hey, I need to grab this key. Oh, hey, I need to go back into that room I was at and unlock this door.
Yeah.
I need to wait a second because, oh, hey, he might have heard that and opened that door slowly, and then all the shit and shenanigans happens right there. So
yeah. Yeah, it feels like a game that was largely only tested by people on the internal team, like people that were playing the game or developing the game as they were making it. Like, they were the only ones who were giving feedback. So they know the ins and outs, like, because that first time you're given the guy with the meat cleaver and that whole stuff, I didn't know to grab the key. I spent an hour to 2 hours like fucking around with his pattern. I went to the right hallway. I finally got the keys, and then I tried to go beyond where he was because I wasn't sure. It was like a dark area, but like, surely this game's linear. We're going to go that way. No, you have to finally go all the way back out to where you started, where there was a locked door that you may not have even seen coming in. It's just these little tweaks. Like, all you'd have to do is have a cinema of that guy like brushing up against the door saying like, it's locked, I wonder if there's a key, and then cut into the gameplay, and then the problem solved. Like, there just is nothing.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah, missed opportunities. And I just don't think they had a wide spectrum of players in mind when developing this game. I think this game was made for a very, very specific set of people.
I think even those people, because I fall into that mark, and it fails even those people.
Yeah.
You tack on that weird, stupid one-hit kill stealth shit that nobody likes the stealth shit. Like, even in the Sam Fisher games, what are they?
Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell games, where, like, there's certain missions where, like, if you're even seen, it's instant fail. You're restarting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody fucking hates those. Nobody likes that shit. It's fucking asinine, and it's just trial and error bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're left to the whimsies of a fickle AI device that, like, oh, does it see me now? I don't know. There's no significant cue that I've been spotted.
Well, they've got the world's worst indicator mark, which is an eye close or an eye open, and that's all you get. You don't have any cones of vision or anything like this.
Nope.
Kyle and I experienced a little bit of that last night.
Oh, yeah?
And Destiny. The Destiny raid.
I see.
It's also very similar, yes.
Destiny is very similar to the Evil Within.
One part of the raid is very similar to it. And the fact that it's very annoying stealth shit stuffed into an action game. That
sucks.
It does. It really does.
But those raids, they'll change up every week. Like, you won't get that same one again.
Oh, no. You'll get that same part. It just might not be at the beginning. Like, this time.
Oh.
This it was actually really awesome.
Might be the beginning this week.
I hope it is, actually. I'd like to get it done and over with.
Yeah, because we've got the other ones down.
Our raid clan is fucking kicking ass, I will say. Like, for people that just take it casually, I'm very proud of our clan. Hashtag.
Very much so.
Nova Bombs over Baghdad.
Indeed.
I love that title.
It's fucking great, right?
It's a great title. Any reference to Outcast, you got me.
I would like to state, like, so right now we are watching a stream of The Evil Within 2. This has already piqued my interest so much more because I'm getting so many Silent Hill vibes from this.
Well, all right. Now I might have some contentious points.
Because
if anything good can be said about the first game, and I think we all have a lot of negatives to say, the one good thing is I think the atmosphere is very evocative of Silent Hill. It is this, what's real, what's not, these two realities blending in and out of each other. That is very Silent Hillish.
Yes.
So I thought that came across well and good in the first one. I just don't think the gameplay was there to back it up. I think that's what's appealing about the second one, is it seems like, unlike the stealth, why the stealth is so frustrating in Evil Within is because there's only one correct way to do it. The game presents you with maybe many paths and many ways to do it, but there is one right way to do stealth in The Evil Within. And by going into what is essentially an open world within the second one, I think you have the potential to solve problems in many, many different ways.
Yeah.
And that's
invokes,
the issue, right?
It invokes a little bit more creative thinking.
Yes. Yes.
I case in point, I like the Batman games. The Arkham Asylum, Arkham City.
Agreed.
I've still got to play through the Arkham Knight, but
you'll love it.
I'm sure I will, and I think that
Arkham
be
Knight's
one of
the second best one.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm partial.
Sounds best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arkham Origins is number two for me because it is fucking a fantastic story. One of the best Batman stories.
Wow. Wow.
It's fantastic. The Black Mask Joker twist alone is amazing. All right. Well, all right. We disagree.
But anyway. But I like to have the ability to not do things the same way twice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, and that's another knock I had to give The Evil Within. Mm-hmm. It's like I keep having to go behind people and just stabbing them in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. What difficulties did you guys play on?
Just I played on normal, and I really wished I would have played on easy.
I did as well. I played on normal.
I bumped down to easy, and it's you get to shoot a little bit more, but you still don't really have bullets. Like, it doesn't do much of a difference, and it is still mostly one-hit kills.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's still just as rough.
Yeah, that was my one. I was like, man, I really...
I knew I was not going to enjoy this game.
Two or three times, I was like, man, I wished I would have gone easy.
So another thing I'm going to point out that I think was a missed opportunity in this game is the ability of the zombies, creatures, I don't know exactly, I can't remember the exact term for these guys, to set off the traps that are found within. Because... I had an instance where there was a couple zombies that would rise up, and I didn't want to waste ammo with them, but there was this bomb at this doorway that, you know, you have to crouch walk through to not set it off. I was like, all right, maybe I'll get the zombies awake. They know where I've gone, and they'll just run through there, set off the bomb, and oh, hey, I get don't have to worry about wasting anything.
Mm-hmm.
No,
they come right through.
Bomb does not go off. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's hidden bear traps.
Man, that fucking God, that's the worst too.
It was to you. It's like I can't. It's the only affects you.
So
yeah.
Again, your entire viewpoint is over the shoulder, and now you suddenly have to constantly be worried about things at your feet, which you cannot see.
It's over your shoulder, and you have the two giant black bars to force that widescreen, too, to give it that cinematic 2.35:1 aspect ratio. So it's just, that even further obstructs your view of feet and up above areas.
So you're constantly looking at, like, four different things and moving the camera around.
Sky is the word I was looking for.
Oh, I like it.
Jesus Christ.
It's not. That's where Jesus Christ lives. Ryan. He lives in the up above area. Yeah, that's where Jesus
Christ
is. That's
the opposite of the upside down, which we'll find out in Stranger Things Season 2.
Excellent.
I am looking forward to that.
That's a tip.
So let's. I mean, we've bitched about gameplay tons, which is just. It's the obvious worst.
Let's bitch about the story.
Okay. You seem to be highlighted on the story.
Yeah. But, not necessarily the story. I think there are some interesting elements and some fantastic set pieces throughout the game. Like, it's just a roller coaster ride because it does take you to several different types of environments instead of, like, let's say a Silent Hill, which is literally just like dark gray building, dark red building, dark gray building, dark red building, dark gray building, dark red building, dark red building, end of game. This one does move to, like, several different types of environments, and I think that is because the story is such a mess that it allows you to go to these different places.
Sure.
But I think...
So give me a rundown on the story. What the fuck is happening in The Evil Within?
So, Shinji Mikami cannot break from his own tropes. It is very resonant. It's like Resident Evil and Silent Hill combined.
It sure is.
Because you have the same sinister secret shadow organization, but this time it's with, I want to say Barracuda, but it's not Barracuda. It's a B word. Do you either of you two know the name of the company that's behind it? Maybe it's Bermuda. I'm not sure.
Come on, pretty mama.
That's it. Kokomo.
Is it headed by Barack Obama?
We'll take it fast, and then he'll take it slow.
Did I get too political?
If I knew verbatim your joke about Trump, I would put it out right now. But I don't remember it very well.
It's the worst. Anyways.
It's the worst. It's coming soon. So you have the Shadow Corporation, and Kidman, Agent Kidman, is working for them secretly.
Kidman is the girl?
The girl. Yes. That's because that's all you can do in this game. It's not like, what descriptor is it? She has no descriptor. She's just the girl, because nobody has a personality. So Sebastian, I guess, is the lead detective, and he starts to uncover this giant mystery, which involves potentially two twins? I'm not sure. One who was burned alive in a barn and then pushed out of a window, and then taken, his body was taken by this Bermuda shadowy corporation. Again, I'm not sure if it's Bermuda or not. I think, Brooks, are you looking up to verify?
I am, okay. Indeed.
So this shadow corporation takes the body, experiments in the boy's brain, who is like, I guess...
Beacon?
Beacon. Beacon is the shadowy company. That's right. It was a B word. So they then experiment on his brain, which I guess he has like Akira-level psychic powers, and starts to merge his own telekinetic reality into everybody else.
So it's like a Project Fear?
Yes, it really is. It's the same thing where you're haunted by like a white... And that's the fucking thing about this game, is like nothing is wholly original. Like,
no.
Again, we have not Leatherface. We have like the white ghost guy in this game, Ruvik or something. Yeah. That's pretty much Alma.
Yeah, that's the male
Alma. Who leads
Alma.
You around, that has nothing to do. Like, he's not trying to kill you. He's just trying to scare you while he unravels his mysteries of his dark, sad origin.
Yeah, Ruvik. And he wants to be like, I miss my sister, guys. You got to feel this pain, too.
That's it. Like, oh, I was burned alive by villagers. It's like, yeah, that's great.
Chemical Romance.
Also fucking Freddy Krueger, too. Freddy Krueger was burned alive and now haunts children.
Shinji Mikami was great when tropes weren't a thing, and now all of his work is tropes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love Shinji Mikami. And when his tropes work, they fucking work great, but goddamn, they don't work in The Evil Within. It just seems like a needless, stupid fucking, like, not even a fan service. It's like, oh, these things work, and I know that I've seen them work, so I'm going to do them.
It worked, you know, it worked in Nightmare on Elm Street. It worked in, like I said, Project Fear. And I was like, oh, when Ryan mentioned that, I couldn't even follow the story that well, but it was like, oh, that sounds like Project Fear.
Yeah, it is very similar
like
to that.
The only thing, I mean, the only way it could have gotten any closer is if the antagonist of this game decided to rape you at the end.
Yeah, and very, you know what? A lot of these games take on an anti-capitalist stance, which I just don't agree with, you know? These big corporations are trying to improve things for humanity, and fuck it, we're trying to shit on them and trying to screw that up. Fuck that. I ain't no communist. Capitalism 101, baby.
Shop at Walmart. Don't shop local, right?
That's right. That's right. Walmart's going to give you them best deals. You want fucking 900 blank CDs for $2? Go to Walmart.
You ain't getting that nowhere else.
Yeah, maybe Amazon, but that's still a giant corporation. Fucking A.
Exactly.
Brooksy,
so?
What is you think your biggest complaint with this game?
The way it forces you down one path.
Okay. So the linearity of
it. Well, it's not so much, it's like the, because games can be linear.
Sure.
I don't mind that. Like I said, Arkham Asylum was somewhat linear. But you had multiple ways to get around that linear path. Whereas you don't get as much trial and error, or you don't get as much leeway in The Evil Within.
Sure.
At least to my knowledge. I could be wrong.
Ryan,
I could have been playing it wrong the entire time. I don't know.
What is, in your complaint, the biggest shortfall of The Evil Within?
This is going to be a long list. We'll be at this a while.
No, I mean, I don't really think it is, because I do think going into this, I thought I was going to be the hater, and I think I actually appreciate the game more than you guys do.
I think you do easily.
I think it also, I don't know, I like bad games too sometimes. Like, I get in the mood, especially if it's like a Japanese developed game or like a Japanese movie. Like, I kind of like those C or B movies. sometimes. Like, I'll watch Tokyo Gore Police and Machine Girl and weird shit like that. And this kind of feels like it. It feels just like a hack kind of B-tier game. And it's that. The biggest short falling or whatever. I just don't think it's fun. It's too stressful. It's whether this is due to the gameplay mechanics, due to the oppressive atmosphere, whatever. It just isn't fun or engaging to me. Like, I really, really enjoyed my time watching somebody else play it, and I think that's the perfect way to just go online and watch somebody streaming this game or something. I think, again, I'd compare that to Shadow of the Colossus. Like, I think there are a lot of cool elements and some creativity here, but it is just not a fun game to play at any point. And that's the biggest shortfall of any fucking video game, is I don't like to play it. What's the point of it then?
Yeah. I would also agree. I also, as you know, Ryan, I really love a good shitty movie. I don't like a good shitty game. I think it's based on the interactiveness of it. Like, mm-hmm. I can't get behind that. I just do. It's part of the problem that made, and you're going to disagree with me here, Enslaved so hard to complete for me.
Oh, man. It's not a shitty game at all.
I think parts of it really fall short. But anyways.
Disagree. But all right. That's not here, neither here nor there.
Yes. I fully agree. And my biggest complaint with this game is, if this was straight up action, like Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil 6, this game will be so much better.
Yeah.
But the fact that it fucking shoehorns you into these weird bullshit one-hit kill stealth situations just totally kill the flow of the game, totally kill the, like, there's times when you're sneaking around, like, even normal enemies, and it's frustrating. And when you get seen, you've got to try to fight them, and, you know, you can hit them twice, and then they're hitting you with this super powerful fucking swing. You don't have ammo to fight them, and it's just it's frustration all around. It's not good, and I don't like that in my gameplays. So that's my biggest complaint.
Yeah, I think that's very fair,
very valid.
Yeah, again, they're video games. That's the one thing you should be concerned about most, I think, is the gameplay.
We're spending $60+ if we are buying these games. So
full price.
Full price.
In fairness, I paid $10 for this and I still couldn't beat it.
I paid $20, I think.
Okay. Okay.
For this.
I got it really cheap and I still felt kind of ripped off.
Yeah. I'm like, it's now stuck in my Steam library and it's like,
Yeah, see, if you had it on a disc like I did for PlayStation 4, you'd just go outside and fucking smash it, and then you don't have to worry about it.
I do have it on PS4, and I would like to smash it. Maybe we do that for a Patreon goal.
There we go.
Smash.
Yeah, I will totally smash
people. We are the Gallagher of podcasts. Bring your raincoats, please.
That's a sick reference, bro.
Right?
Most people don't know Gallagher.
Yeah, our podcast totally understand deep cut 90s references.
That was actually more 80s
references. 80s references. I don't know decades. But,
so,
yeah.
I do have... All right, so I myself am done talking about Evil Within. I really don't have anything else more to say. Do you guys have anything else?
I am pretty much toast on Evil Within as well.
Okay.
That's... All right, well, I'll end on this. We'll talk about it and give our final ratings.
I have two more things to ask. But completely unrelated to Evil Within. So go ahead and do your ratings.
Oh, I was going
to
say, are you looking forward to Evil Within 2?
I am,
Does playing Evil Within at all make you interested in Evil Within 2?
Not at all. But actually watching this stream that we're watching right now while we're recording has made me very interested in it. I really like the new direction that it seems to have taken. So
it seems a little bit more action-packed.
Yes, I'm definitely going to be checking it out at the least.
Might be a rental, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to rent it and check it out.
Just because I've been burned once.
Yes. Even at $15, I got it, you know, as a steal on pre-used PS4.
That said, I'm looking at this, I'm just like, it's like Dead Rising, but minus the fun weapons.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? So you're negative.
No. I think, I don't know. From what I've seen in the stream so far, this just looks like another open world game to me. I'm not seeing those, like, brilliant kind of artistic flourishes that are hampered by design choices.
Okay.
Instead, we get the complete flip-flop where this looks kind of just, like, fine. It looks like every other game out right now.
Sure.
It doesn't look bad. It's just fine.
Though. Like I said, I'm getting a very Silent Hill vibe from this, so I'm going to at least check it out.
Sure. All right.
Brooks, what about you, buddy?
So I'm looking at this, and it's kind of a mix between Dead Space and another game I play, State of Decay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm getting some State of Decay vibes. Mm-hmm.
So
I've not played it, but I know of it.
Fun game. You might be able to get it fairly cheap right now, but because the next one's due out soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And should have co-op. But now, if I wanted scary games, one of the ones I've been playing, and I don't know if you guys mind me throwing this out here. Have you guys ever played Prey?
I have not, but I want to. I've played the original one.
The original, yes. Yeah.
I've not played this new one that looks really cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I screamed. The chair next to me screamed. I had to shoot the chair.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. That's a cool D&D reference.
It is. But it's a valid reference. You will get startled by this game a little bit. But it's in a fun way, I think. Okay. I've had so much fun playing that game. I took a break from it for a little bit, and I'm planning to get back into it because, well, other things came out. But it's a lot of fun and an interesting take on. I'll go ahead and spoil it. Mimics.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and especially the story that I am aware of so far is interesting.
Okay.
So, if Brooks, you guys definitely try to play it.
I want to, but I think we need to wrap up.
I might.
But before
it
we do.
It seems like it might be too tense for me.
Brooks, you were originally slated to be on the first two episodes of this month, which were American Werewolf in Paris and The Thing 2011. I don't want, you know, a lot of exposition. I just want to know, you've watched both those movies. First off, American Werewolf in Paris. Where do you land on that?
I think of it as not so much a good sequel for American Werewolf in London.
Okay.
But it was kind of like a precursor to the style of... the style of movie that Underworld, that kind of...
What a condemning statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
The action horror, a little bit.
All right, so not a positive.
Kind of not. Okay. Underworld is at least a popcorn-popping kind of action movie. You don't need to put a lot of thought into it.
Sure.
It just happens to have werewolves and vampires.
Okay. I was very confused the way you were starting that. I thought you were going to go more positive.
No, I rewatched it, and it's like, I much prefer American Werewolf in London.
Of course, everybody does. But I think as far as
except
I know,
Kyle.
I don't prefer it, but I still really like American Werewolf in Paris. I know. I'm in the utter small minority.
I don't know if you are or are not, but I just know that movie.
The other
was
question, though,
dumb
Brooks.
Yes,
Thing 2011. What were your thoughts on that?
So the Thing 2011 is it was the shoddy CGI aside, it had potential to not be a bad movie. You know, it was. Mm-hmm. I was curious to know. I mean, it wasn't as a surprise. I mean, you've seen the John Carpenter movie. You knew what to expect going into this movie, so they just went full bore on it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same concept, I think, that James Cameron had with Aliens.
Okay. That's a pretty good take on it.
It fell way short of Aliens, but sure, I totally agree with you.
But that was the same take that they took.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of the design choices were interesting. Definitely a little bit out there of it. The ending kind of threw me for a second. I had to go back and rewatch, and I was like, oh, okay. But it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, but it still doesn't hold a candle to John Carpenter's The Thing.
I think that's where Ryan and I both fell to. Mm-hmm. It's not taken and out of, individually. It's not a bad movie.
Yeah. And out of the two movies, I would much rather prefer... Out of the two movies this month, I would have much rather to watch The Thing 2011.
Sure. Agreed. Sure. Agreed wholeheartedly.
I think I would maybe go Werewolf, but just because it's so dumb and stupid, and I really do enjoy it. But anyways.
God damn it.
I know, I'm the worst. I don't know how you
do it with me. Kyle, out of 13 chainsaws, what would you give The Evil Within?
God damn, I'm going to give it like a 3.
3 out of 13 chainsaws.
So 1 being the worst, right?
1 being the worst, yeah.
I'll give it a 3.
All right, Brooks, how about you?
I'm going to alter your scale a little bit to suit my needs. This is 3...
Wait. Can the guest change my rating scale?
No, you're going to appreciate this slight change because this will express my true feeling.
All right.
I give it 4 electric chainsaws.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Not quite as much horsepower as your gas-powered chainsaw.
I got it. Okay. So, same token here. I'm going to go with 5 out of 13 rusty chainsaws. The blades just have not been cleaned in a while. They've not been sharpened. It's just kind of, you know.
You've seen it before.
Same old chainsaw, but doesn't cut well.
Sure. And you're waiting for it to kick back on you.
Yeah, anytime it's going to come back and hit you in the face.
And one hit kill you. Yeah, one hit kill you, and you're done.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, Brooks, I wish we could have had you on the other two episodes.
Yes, time did not work well for us this time.
I really enjoyed both those movies. And I know Ryan enjoyed one of them.
I really wanted to be here to watch Ryan watch An American Werewolf in Paris.
Really hard to focus on a podcast that day because every 2 minutes you get something else.
I was listening, and it was just like, oh man, he is so tortured.
Yeah. But no, man, Brooks, thank you again as always. I love when you come on the show. Mm-hmm. I think the next time we're having you on, I don't care. It's when we talk about Mr. Brooks. We're going to watch that movie. Maybe it's for a Patreon episode. Maybe it's just for an episode. I don't care. We're going to watch it because I think you both need to see that movie.
That sounds like a good time.
I would like to hear your opinions on it.
Sounds like a flat-out lie to me. I don't think we should watch that movie.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a flat-out a flat-out lie because I was going to be here. I thought you were insulting me.
No, yes. Like, I was lying to you, Brooks. You're not coming back. He said some stuff over here in like the last 10 minutes. Can't repeat it.
Thank you for listening. The Evil Within is not good. Maybe check out The Evil Within 2, though. It seems more promising. And Ryan has something to say along those lines.
Well, I was going to do it much more subtly. Oh. Since we don't have cameras anymore.
Yeah.
But sure, I was going to throw out Brooks because he also streams. And he's streaming Evil Within. So I wanted to give his Twitch some love if you want to promote that.
Although I do use the same handle as my Twitter.
Yeah. This is true. So it works.
So please spell it out for us, Brooks.
So it is FI3XER.
So it's not the number 3, it's 3X's like triple X like
no,
pornography.
No, actually for the handles I do use the number 3.
Oh.
So as to not get filtered, capped, etc.
Okay, well then I'm sorry, please spell it out again.
It is FI 3 number XER.
Sure. Sure.
And I can send you guys a link a little bit later. In fact, I think Kyle is following me, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I'll send it out, too. And, you know, if you've ever watched me play Destiny on the Experience Grand channel, Brooks is always on there. Please go follow him on there, too.
You can watch my shoddy gameplay, or if we are doing raid and are in the gauntlet, you will see what I have to go through while these guys shoot things
apparently,
on the outside.
According to a couple of the viewers, I have really terrible auto rifle aim, which I don't agree with, but I'm going to give them credit here, which is Catch Penny and Rooter. Also, fuck you guys. I think I have very great auto rifle aiming, but
I have some pretty decent snapshot handgun because of my I keep Sturm handy, and that is my favorite hand cannon at the moment.
I wish Ryan would play Destiny with us.
I'm starting the experience grind Smite clan. It's population one.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm going strong. Really loving this Destiny.
I did see
time
you. I didn't want to call you out. I saw that you're playing Trine, and you did not invite me, and that upset me because that is
Trine's game time with the waifu.
Oh, okay.
That's our co-op game we play.
Then never mind.
We're both wizards, and we just fuck each other over with
God,
boxes.
You're both wizards? I hated being the wizard.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you guys always seem to toss invites to my 12-year-old son to play Overwatch.
I absolutely do, yeah. I mean, what? 12-year-olds are probably the best players out there.
They probably are way better than us. So, anyways, that's it. Now we're ending.
Well, okay.
On a great note.
Sure.
Is it a great note?
We should also,
I think this
real
is
quick,
probably the best note.
Throw out maybe, like, if you like experience grind.
Sure.
And want to see, like, I don't know, a long amount of time of us doing stuff. We might have something coming up.
Yeah, if you support us on Patreon. Is that what you're referencing?
I don't think so, but no. Go with this, whatever this was.
Yeah,
was
yeah. Go with the one that gives
Child's
you guys
Play
money.
Marathon.
Well, that, are we fully committed to that? Please give that.
We have signed up.
All right, go ahead.
I sent you stuff.
But I did get it, but I haven't logged in.
We need to iron out what we are actually going to do.
Sure.
We might have giveaways. We might do things. We don't know yet.
So all right. So I'll go ahead and come. Here it is, real quick. Ryan and I are this year in November, which is next month.
November 4th.
We are doing Child's Play, which is a live stream for charity where we're going to be live streaming for at least, I think, I'm going for like 8 hours.
I'm going to laugh, though.
Whatever
this
you
is
do,
for
I'm going to do.
Toys for Tots. Because
I'll be here.
I think we're going to do Riley. It's for Children's Hospital.
Yeah, it's for the Children's Hospital in Riley.
So we're going to be playing games together at Experience Grind HQ for charity. And, you know, we really need your help. These are, you know, we're only going to take 90% of the proceeds for us. The other 10%, that goes to all the sick kids.
That is a lie.
Yeah.
100% proceeds go to the kids. Again, we don't have segments yet. We're kind of thinking those out. If there's anything you want to see or you have ideas, let us know. We are going to be into it. I'm still kind of on the idea of a Hartman's Hockey Hour, in which case
Hartman
takes
up
on
and
challengers.
We play ice hockey.
On NES hockey.
Yeah, that's going to be that'll be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely want to get in on this at some
point.
So, whoever wants to challenge you,
we
are going to
have guests. It's going to be a great show. It's all for charity and it's going to be live stream. So, I think we'll be doing all of that on the Twitch.
Yeah, it'll most likely be through your Experience Grind Twitch.
Mm-hmm. It's ours.
I'm
the only one that plays on it.
That.
But it is twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
He says, but if you guys divorce, he gets it.
Yeah. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. We will be talking about it now because we are confirmed. We are doing it. That's very fucking awesome.
We just got confirmation this afternoon.
I did get that email from you. So other than that, also, if you like to give money to stupid shit besides charities, wow, that did not roll off the tongue like I thought it would. Ryan and I also have a Patreon. We would like some contributions. We have a new goal. If we get $53 a month, we will have a live Bob Ross Drunken Paint Off. So
that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be really great. Interested. And both of the pictures will either be given away or sacrificed to the deity of Satan, whichever we decide to do. So other than that, again, check out Fixer at FI3XER on Twitch. Check us out on Twitch, Experience Grind. Check us out on Twitter, on Facebook. Follow all of us because, I mean, really, we have nothing else to do. And we talk almost as soon as you send us anything. So please, please, please talk to us. We're so lonely. We hate each other. We need outside influence.
I hate outside influence, and I like being lonely. So okay. Don't message me.
Please just
help
me.
They keep me locked in the basement.
I
they need
validation.
Guests every so often, and they all lock right, me up.
That's enough of the gimp for today. Put them away.
Bye, guys. I am Kyle.
Oh, I'm Ryan, too.
And I'm Brooks.
And we are the Experience Grind Podcast, plus Brooks, who is the best, plus sound engineer Andrew. And we're shutting the fuck up. We're leaving. Goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can check us out at experiencegrind.com or find us over at facebook.com/experiencegrind.
Watch me play games on twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
We really like money. We really like money. We really like money. You should give us your money.
Find us on Patreon. Just search for Experience Grind Podcast.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. It's current year.
Follow us if you like butt stuff.